How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser, Reporter Nick, on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. We've got a big show for you today. Matt Duchesne, Predators forward, going to join us in about 45 minutes as a part of the Daily Power Play at 9:45. But we dive in to the Titans. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Chaser. How we doing?
You know,
I have confirmed again that Rex Road is deaf. I almost just blew an eardrum out there, but still love him.
He is, but that's okay. You know, we still love him, like you said. So we start with this. I mean, and let me just preface this by saying we're going to be talking a lot about what's next for the Titans until they actually make some moves. That's just how this works typically. And it helps when rumors start. And
oh,
we
goodness.
Love rumors.
Lots of hypotheticals.
We love hypotheticals. We love rumors. I mean, that's exactly how this works. So Jordan Schultz puts out last night, he's an NFL insider for The Score, that Arizona is going to try to trade all-pro wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins this offseason. He has 2 years left at $34.36 million on his contract, but he's probably going to want a new deal. And Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, plans to express that to GM candidates. So they're going in rebuild. They're going that route. And, you know, Titans fans, it's kind of a debate. Do you run it back with mainly Tannehill, potentially Henry? Do you go full rebuild? You know, we talked about that the other day. Does the full-scale rebuild actually work? A lot of times it either takes a really long time and the current GM and coach don't get to see it because they get fired, or it doesn't work at all. So that's kind of where we're at. I've taken a few days to really think about it, and I've kind of been leaning this way. I've said it that in my gut I felt like Ryan Tannehill was going to be the quarterback for the Titans next year. I feel even better about saying that because I just feel like that is the smartest decision. Because one thing we're going to get into today is if you take the injuries away, like let's just, you know, if Ryan Tannehill never hurts the ankle, what does this look like?
Probably in the playoffs.
Probably so. Yeah.
Actually, pretty confidently in the playoffs.
That 90% that they had, I would say, would have come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. That's something that you can't just erase. Now, I'm not erasing the fact that, you know, there were bad personnel decisions. The offensive line was bad from the beginning because of different moves. I'm not forgetting any of that either. That obviously factors in. But, you know, the injuries had a lot to do with this. But so if you – and I heard Joe use this morning. If you go on that premise, which I agree with the premise, that you're going to run it back with the core.
Mm-hmm.
And really Tannehill being the big piece of that. Henry is too, but he's the biggest piece. Then what do you do when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins? Here's a little bit of what Rex Road said on DeAndre Hopkins this morning.
DeAndre Hopkins has arguably been the best receiver in the league for a couple seasons here in this last stretch. But he's getting hurt more often. And
there's a PED suspension.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be worried about, but I would absolutely look at it. I think the concern is, like I said, someone's probably going to be willing to overpay for him. And you don't want to do that. I assume the one thing here is, of course, there's history with Hopkins and Vrabel have been in the same organization together. So
yep.
That, I would think, would be a good thing. But it just comes down to, like, how good do you think he is? How much would you have to pay? But you absolutely should be looking at it as a possibility. If you're not blowing things up at all, if you're pushing forward, then you need a receiver.
So there you go. You absolutely should be looking at it. Now, I'm going to say that I think that's one of those things that you should kick the tires on, you should make phone calls, and you should answer all those questions. How much is it going to cost? Now, the one thing that the new GM can't do is look at the bad moves that John Robinson made, or be influenced by people going, well, hey, you know, J-Rod
Julio,
you know, and you can't do that because this is your team. Whether mm-hmm. it's Ryan Cowden or an outside person or Vrabel or whoever, you got to look at it as it's your team now, and you have to look at this as a new situation because that's what it is. So I agree. You make the phone call. You look at it. I'm not necessarily saying that I would go all in and do it because I don't think it's the home run move. Because, one, you're not one move away from being good.
No.
And while New Hopkins – I mean, D-Mace is – I can't wait to hear what he has to say because, I mean, he loves DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a player, but
– but he's not the player he used to be. I mean, he has, you know, been at some points in his career one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but
– I think he's been the best wide receiver in the NFL.
But just looking at, you know – 2022 numbers. So started off the year strong, 100 yards receiving, 150, dropped to 30, 90, 80, 70, 60, and then 4 the last game of the year. Don't get me wrong. I know their quarterback ended up getting hurt. I know he struggled a bit with injuries. He is older in the league. So, you know, it is a gamble. Chase, I like the point that you brought up. Whoever the new GM is, they can't look at past decisions that yeah. were made within this organization, such as the Julio Jones one, which is very fresh on people's minds, and how that turned out. I wasn't here when that decision was made, but Robbie and Joe said, you know, a lot of people thought it wouldn't be able to happen, and it happened, and a lot of people were really excited. I was here, though, for the season that Julio Jones was here, and we all know how disappointing that was for this offense. And, you know, when you take a look at DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, of course he would make your team better, but I don't think just getting him would make your team able to compete for Super Bowl. I mean, I think if you look at the needs of this team and what this team needs, if you are keeping your core together, if you are keeping Tannehill, you are keeping Henry, the defense gets healthy, I think before you even take a look at wide receiver, you have to address the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we just got a text on that. You know, do you bring back Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones on cheap deals? Number one, I just don't know if Ben Jones is going to keep playing. The dude had two concussions within mm-hmm. like 3 weeks of each other. I mean, he's already an older player. I would not be surprised if he calls it a career.
The only way I could see Ben Jones coming back along with Taylor Lewan, and we talked about this morning, is if Vrabel says, okay, guys, let's try to run it back one more time with this core group. You have Tannehill, you have Henry. Ben Jones agrees to come back for one more year before a potential retirement. You're able to talk to Taylor Lewan and you say, hey, listen, we're going to try to run it back one more time with this crew. We're going to try to be competitive. If you can take a pay cut and then you try to add some maybe smaller pieces around to have one more go for it year. And if it doesn't work, then right. Okay.
He's tweeting right now, so we could tweet at him and say,
who?
You know, Taylor Lewan and ask
oh,
him,
he's always
hey,
tweeting.
Would you take a pay cut and come back? Get on that.
Odds are he sees it and or responds. Low, but we'll try. Well,
I mean, I tweeted at Brady, you know, a bunch of times. He never responded.
I thought you were going to say he responded. I was like, Chase, why have I never heard this?
No. Dale Jr. responds, but not Tom Brady. I would bring him back on a cheap deal. The only thing that concerns me with Lewan is just, can he stay on the field for 17 games? Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if the answer is yes at this point. So, even if you bring him back on a cheap deal, you're going to have to get, you know, find your Dennis Kelly, who was a great backup to him. You're going to have to do better than Dennis Daly. And I think they know that, but that's kind of the catch-22 there. But I agree with you that the offensive line has to be the priority, because if you fix the offensive line, then that leads to a lot of good things. I mean, Vrabel said it the other day that with bad offensive line play, I mean, you get the quarterback hurt, all those things. I mean,
he emphasized it. He didn't just say it. He emphasized that.
Yeah, and that's what got Keith Carter fired. Like, I when he said that, I was like, Keith Carter's out. Mm-hmm. And whether it was all his fault or not, that right there, I think, really was the telltale that he was going to be gone. But as for DeAndre Hopkins being a big splash piece, I certainly think you look at it.
Of course.
I think the odds are you probably don't do it because, as Joe said, I think the price is going to end up being too high. Because, look, the contract right now is doable. It's the fact that he's going to want a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be – they're trading him. And so what's the price of actual trade going to be? That, I think, is going to be too rich because you're going to have teams like, you know, New England going after him. I could see Baltimore being interested in him.
I could see the Cowboys going after
Cowboys would be interested in him for sure.
I mean, he's pretty much asking, or if you were to take him on, it'd be about the same as OBJ. I think DeAndre Hopkins is about 19.8 right now. OBJ's 20. OBJ is obviously younger, but still has had he's had some more severe injuries with the ACL. But, you know, I think you have to, whoever the new GM is, whether it's Ryan Cowden, whether it's somebody from the outside coming in, of course you have to look at it because he's a premier player in the NFL. Yes, I know he is in his 30s right now, but he is a premier player. So of course you look at it, but I agree with you, Chase. I think that some teams will, if they are, you know, one or two pieces away from a Super Bowl, this Cowboys team, if they could get one more, you know, electric wide receiver, they'd be willing to pay a lot to get him.
They're
and you're not at that point right now.
Completely 100% agree. They're a team that it makes sense. I don't know if it makes a lot of sense. You got to see what other moves are going to happen first. Because, look, he's not going to be the first high-profile player that's going to be available. I do agree if you run it back, you got to make a splashy move.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do it in multiple areas. It's the O-line. It's receiver. I mean, I heard Joe say it this morning. I've heard others say it. I do think you need to completely revamp the wide receiver room. Oh, just completely redo the wide receiver room. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls. Would you kick the tires on DeAndre Hopkins with the Tennessee Titans? We will discuss that next. And is running it back the right move for the Tennessee Titans? That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic. Here with you, we're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Reporter Nick behind the glass as well. And who's our guest? We have a job shadower.
This is Jeff Middleton.
Hi,
actually,
Jeff.
Hey, guess what, Chase?
What?
Jeff and I have played hockey together.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. Is he better than you, or are you better than him?
I don't know. I don't think
Jeff,
so. I've skated longer.
Okay. Right.
Jeff says he's better.
Okay.
Little nod back
That's
there.
Fine. Reporter Nick bringing a. He's reporting. He's
also,
reporting that.
I will say really quick before we get into the Titans, because we have a bunch to discuss this segment, but Nick did report to us yesterday that Nashville will be getting an In-N-Out burger, and that is great news for everybody around. Maybe not my gut, but it's very great news.
Well,
I'm so excited.
WSMV had it first.
Okay,
so.
But you reported it to us. Nick, I was trying to give you credit, okay?
I know.
Don't give them credit.
Hey, Joe Dubin always taught me just roll with whatever I get and act like I own it.
Yeah, exactly. He's right. He's told me that too. Anyway, yeah, In-N-Out Burger, excited about that. So I got a couple of things on DeAndre Hopkins, and we'll get to your phones as well. I've been texting with Chris Sanders, our forever Titans wide receiver. And he brings up a really good point, because I said, would you trade for Hopkins? He said, yes, but is he a Vrabel guy? Would he block? Those are very important things to think about. But here's something else that I just thought about. In your mind, right now, today, who would be the two top candidates to be offensive coordinator?
Tim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill O'Brien.
What do those two have in common?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Now, O'Brien did trade DeAndre Hopkins.
He did trade
when
him.
He was the GM. But you have to figure that the offense would certainly be one he's familiar with.
Oh, 100%. And that will also make Tennessee a more likable option for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, who doesn't want to go? Of course, you want to go play with people you know, coaches you trust. That's obviously going to make Tennessee look a little bit better because the team itself right now isn't a glamorous option,
right.
I guess you could say.
Now, I would say Tim Kelly. I still stand by that Tim Kelly is probably going to be it.
Oh, I I firmly believe that he will be the OC.
But I, you know, Billy O, I think, is a long shot. And I've always wondered what's it like if a guy worked for you and then all of a sudden you're working for them, you know, what that dynamic is like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But 615-737-1025. We'll get to some texts here in a few minutes as well. But Jason wants to weigh in on Lawan. Welcome in, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just wanted to see, what do you think if Lawan could, like, move to guard? Would that be easier on his knees or something like that? Like, I don't know much about the difference between the positions or anything, but it seems like left tackle is probably the hardest position to play. And, I mean, he's certainly mean enough to play guard. And he can definitely block.
Thanks for the call, Jason. I appreciate it. I don't know. I don't know enough about O line to know if that's easy to do or not. I know he's played tackle his entire career,
mm-hmm.
Even going back to college. So you know there are guys that can play inside and outside, pretty easy. I mean, Bruce Matthews, the Hall of Famer, played every position on the offensive line. I think Taylor's a tackle, and he would probably. That would be, if he came back, he would probably want to be a tackle.
Yeah, I agree, especially at this time in his career. I don't think, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for him, but I don't know how open he would be to just playing a completely different position. I know still on the O-line, but I don't know too much about the difference in both positions. Like, tackles usually are taller than guards, which Taylor is a tall guy, but when it comes to his injuries, ACL injuries, I mean, you can't prevent them. It's not like a soft tissue injury. I think it really just happens. So I don't think switching positions would be all the difference in his knee and what happened to his knee.
I don't think prior. So. And he'd probably have to put on a little more weight. I mean,
and I saw him in the locker room the other day.
He's gonna be faster.
He looks pretty skinny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's probably not in game weight. Let's go to Phil on our text line or a phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Phil, welcome in.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I mean, I guess I'll be negative Nancy here. I mean,
because, that starts at two.
This guy, man, has drained the Titans, and he has been hurt 60% of the time. I guess I can fairly say that. He's inconsistent. I mean, hey, I don't blame you for getting your money and milking him for every dime you can get. But as a Titans fan, we got to be better than this. We can't be that desperate that we're considering Taylor Lawan again. I mean, out of all the players that should go, he should have been the first name on the list out the door. But it just seems like that position is so hard to replace, mm-hmm. that they're willing to put up with this and continue to pay dead weight. Because John Lynch said it best. He said, your best ability is availability. If you're not available, what good are you doing that team? And he's all the time on the bench. I think that's something that we could consider. Y'all have a blessed day, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks Phil. Appreciate it. I mean, and look, and I we're not saying bring him back on his current contract. I mean,
yeah,
no way, no how. And it's a very easy discussion to have with him because all the guarantees have been paid. So you cut him. There's no dead cap. And you say, look, we'll bring you back. We're going to pay you a hell of a lot less than you're making now.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there. And he can either decide, hey, I'm going to shop, I'm going to see what else is mm-hmm. out there, or no, I want to stay in Nashville, I want to stay with the Titans, finish my career here, yeah. and then he takes it.
Well, and he's been pretty open about it, whether it's been on his podcast, Bussin' with the Boys, or he was on with Kay Adams on the Kay Adams Show on FanDuel TV not too long ago, and he said, you know, I probably will get cut. He's very open and is realistic about this situation. So that is kind of the reason I think we're talking about, you know, maybe they could find something to get him on a cheaper deal because he is realistic at the fact of, okay, you know, I got drafted in 2014, almost 10 years ago, right? But I think, too, for people to say, like, he hasn't been good for the team, I think that is a little bit too far in the negative direction because, I mean, we've seen what Ryan Tannehill was able to do when Taylor Lewan was at his full healthy self, being able to block for him. And yeah, these last 2 years with the ACL injury, you can't avoid stuff like that. It still is football at the end of the day, but it's not good to see a guy get them back-to-back years. Just like an OBJ situation, him coming off, and no team has picked him up yet. So the only way I think the Titans should do it is if he is willing to take a significant pay cut, because as Phil also mentioned, it is very hard just to go get guys on an offensive line who can perform as a first string O-lineman unless you're drafting them and they're within your organization and you're developing them. And they haven't been able to do that with their last couple draft picks.
Right now, you have to fill three spots on the offensive line. At least.
Maybe are you four. Re-signing Nate Davis too?
I think you should.
You should.
I mean, I think Nate Davis will be back. I think you figure that out.
But he's another guy who's been up and down with injuries.
He had a bad year. He didn't have a great year, but I think overall he's been solid. And like
have nobody else.
You're right. I mean, here's the other thing. Are you going to replace the entire offensive line? Petit Frere, I got to see more, but I mean, I think you run it back with him.
Yeah.
And so if that all works out, your right side is taken care of. And center, you don't know because you don't know Ben Jones' status. If Ben Jones is going to come back, then that's your center.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he only plays for the Titans. I think he
– I agree.
Vrabel loves him. He's a guy you want in the locker room. So if he's healthy and he comes back, center's taken care of. I think you have to address right guard because I just think it took a step back. You got to address that, or left guard, I mean, and then left tackle. And I think even if Lawan comes back, you still have to address left tackle. They're going to draft offensive linemen.
They need, because here's the thing. You already know that Lawan is on the back half slash end of his career right now, and it would be a gamble to see if you can even get him on a cheaper contract. You need to draft a left tackle that you're able to develop, because even if he is able to be there for this 1 year, he probably, let's be honest, won't stay healthy the entire year or be able to play all 18 weeks. And Corey on the text line has another good point. The fact of the matter is there are not a lot of players at that position who can play at a high level. Mm-hmm. How do you justify moving on from Lawan when you haven't been able to properly develop young offensive line talent? And that is the point right there. That is why we are saying that you take him on a cheaper contract if he is willing to.
So our listeners have shown me something that I already knew, but they have just emphasized or re-emphasized something that makes me proud. I'll tell you what I mean coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line. You can call or text on that. So our listeners have re-emphasized something to me, and that is you're very smart. And
yes, you are.
I like how people are looking at this. Because we started the show, and I brought up DeAndre Hopkins, and would you make that move? But I made a comment about you, and you made a comment about the offensive line and Taylor Lewan, and that's what people have keyed in on. Because you know what? That's exactly where the focus should be when it comes to fixing this roster. And that is you have to take care of the offensive line first, because if you don't do that, then none of it matters. And whether it's Ryan Tannehill or whoever, you bring Derrick Henry back, you got to have an effective offensive line. And Vrabel made that point the other day that you have to have a much better offensive line. So I'm proud of our listeners for they're like DeAndre Hopkins is down the list. I think you have to see who else is out there. I think you have to see the other moves that other teams are going to make, because there's going to be several, and that's going to help you with that decision. The big decision that the Titans have to make right now is, one, they have to hire a general manager. Then they have to hire an offensive coordinator, which I think they already have, but they have to hire an offensive coordinator. And then you have to decide, are we going to run it back and keep this core together? Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, was on with Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday and was asked that exact question. Would you run it back with Tannehill and Henry?
Oh, I definitely move forward with Ryan Tannehill for sure, and then with Derrick Henry also. Part of, I think, what I would say about, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and I think this ends up being the case, like I said this a while back, I think he's more a candidate for, a renegotiation than to be a cap casualty. I think you can get, worse, you know, easier than you can get better at the position. So you just look at, you know, kind of what happened this season. So now, all that to say, I definitely would be aware of the quarterback market. Like, what's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo? What's going to happen with Derek Carr? You know, there's going to be movement for sure, and there are going to be openings as well. Does Tom Brady retire? You know, what's the situation, you know, out at the Rams? So I think it definitely needs some monitoring. But I also think that, you know, with Ryan Tannehill, I can't say that I feel like, you know, he was given the best opportunity to have a ton of success, you know, with the receiver situation. Now, when he had, you know, probably the appropriate players around him, I think he played well. And I think that's kind of, you know, why we saw what happened with John Robinson.
Yeah, and I agree with Tim on that. The receiver room should honestly be next. You know, you revamp the offensive line, mm-hmm. and then you revamp the receiver room. I think Robert Woods is gone. He really brought nothing, and he won't cost much to just move on from. I liked the move when they made it. It just didn't pan out.
They made it thinking AJ would be there. He'd be a two to AJ, and then you have Treylon Burke. So I agree with you. I liked that move. He's not at the point in his career where he can be a number one wide receiver. Can't get separation, and he's just older, right? Coming off the ACL injury. So I agree. I think they move off from Robert Woods. We touched on this earlier. I think you have to revamp the wide receiver room. I mean, you look at it right now. Okay, Treylon Burks is your wide receiver one. You have...
You hope he is.
Yeah. Racy McMath, a guy who showed some promise in training camp, but then was injured for most of the year. I think training camp... I think you give him an opportunity because if you think that you're going to revamp the entire O-line and also the wide receiver room, then you're crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can bring him to camp, but you can't bank. I don't bank on that. And Kyle Phillips, I heard Robbie and Rex Rowe discussing him too. I mean, he's a big question. I mean, I think he can be good, but he's already shown me he can't stay on the field. Now, that's a bigger discussion too when it comes to injuries. But I think you gotta address it. I mean, I said this last year. You have to address it in the draft, and you have to address it in free agency.
Okay, but you have to also address the offensive line in the draft. So what is your wide receiver room looking like then?
So Burks, I would if in a perfect world, I would go Burks, veteran, draft pick, Phillips. And then if you want to bring Westbrook-Ikhine and McMath back, you can see what happens in training camp. I mean, Westbrook-Ikhine is a guy that I don't mind having on my roster. He's not going to blow me away. He's not going to be a one, a two. He's really more of a four and kind of a fill-in guy. But he's cheap, you know, so I say bring him back. That's fine. But I need another draft pick, and I need another veteran.
So you're using your first-round pick, let's say, left tackle?
I'm using my...
Or left guard?
I don't think Jared's going to like me saying this. I'm using my first-round pick on the best player available. That's what I'm doing. If I'm picking at 11 and I'm staying at 11, I'm using my first-round pick on the best player available, especially for a need. Now, if it's a corner, I think you're good there, but... But I if it's a receiver, if it's a quarterback, if it's an offensive lineman, things that can help you.
True, but how do you revamp the O-line, like you're saying, and then also the wide receiver room?
I understand that, but you have that's the problem. You have so many freaking holes on this team and those are the most glaring, but do you think they're just hunky dory at middle linebacker?
I don't think they're hunky dory at any position.
Right.
But that was my point in saying, like, guys like Racy McMath, unfortunately, people don't want to see him in the wide receiver room. He probably will be because you're not going to be able to ramp up or like revamp the room and grab You know, I think they do go out and get a veteran wide receiver, but okay, then you have two. I don't think you're going to have enough. They need so many draft picks. Oh, my goodness.
That's the thing. I mean,
like, you're just not going to have enough because you have so many holes that you need to draft and then also develop. And I think O-line taking priority again because it's so hard to actually go out and get guys in free agency, whereas wide receiver is easier to do that.
But I think you have to be careful. When you go into the draft and, you know, being around Floyd, I kind of learned this. You can't necessarily go in. You have to have a shopping list, but you can't necessarily go in and say, okay, I have to take an offensive lineman with my first pick. Because by the time you get to your first pick, the offensive lineman that you may have graded for that pick mm-hmm. would be gone, and the next guy probably falls to the second round. So you kind of have to look at it as I have to get the best player available, especially when you're a team that has so many needs. And so it could be a left tackle. And it's like, all right, you take the left tackle. It could be a receiver. Now, I would kind of think that you wouldn't want to go 2 years in a row spending your first round pick on a wide receiver. But again, if that's the best player and you know he's going to help you right now, because when you draft a guy at 11, they got to help you right now. And this team has missed on guys helping them right now when it comes to the first round. So you gotta get that figured out.
Well, and I think you hit on a good point there, Chase. We can map it out and say, okay, it'll be perfect if they can get a left tackle in the first round and then they can get a wide receiver in the second round and then, you know, this, and this. But, I mean, the point blank is we didn't think they'd take Roger McCreary in the second round last year.
But I think he was the best player available.
But yeah, exactly. But he was a guy who played – 90, I think nine, the most snaps every game, was healthy on the field all year. So that's the thing. We can map out what they need, but when it comes to draft day, whoever the GM is going to be has to pick the best player at that position. And maybe it is a quarterback who probably won't play if you still have Tannehill. So it's tough because you can't just look at this team and say, oh, it's an easy fix for next year.
No, there is no easy fix for next year when it comes to this team.
Even if you bring your core back, there are still so many glaring pieces needing to be fixed. And that's saying everybody gets healthy and they're ready to go.
Right. Let's just play this game. Looking at a mock draft, which means absolutely zero right now.
Mock drafts before the playoffs have even started.
PFF has the Titans taking Paris Johnson, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. There you go. There's your offensive tackle. I don't know much about Paris Johnson. I have not started draft research because it's way too early to do that. But there
college
you go.
Football season just ended on Monday.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You're going to have free agency before the draft. Mm-hmm. So you will fill some holes with free agency before you go to the draft.
Or you could have what happened last year and trade for Robert Woods and then...
But you just made the point. When you traded for Robert Woods, you still had A.J. Brown.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you could have things like that happen where you're like, oh, we got Robert Woods and A.J. Brown, and then the draft comes along.
I don't think that's going to happen again.
So...
I think they've learned their...
We don't even know who's going to be the GM,
We don't. We'll continue with the Titans at 10 o'clock. But up next, it's time for the Daily Power Play. Matt Duchesne, Predators forward, going to join us. That's all next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
He scores! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
That's right. It is time for the Daily Power Play here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you. The Predators in action again tonight in Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs. They're riding a four-game winning streak. Started 3-0 on this road trip, and we say hello now to Predators forward Matt Duchesne, who is in Toronto getting ready for tonight's game. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Things you guys got to feel good about how things have been going with your team. Not only are you winning games, you're on a point streak, but everybody from the top down in the lineup is contributing right now. What is it that's clicking for the Predators?
Yeah, I think we've just, our style of game is better. I think we're playing a faster, more offensive game, and you got to play that way in the league now to win games. So I would definitely say I'd point to that for sure.
You've been in this league a long time, and you know that, you know, people on the outside that aren't there every day, you know, if things are good, yay, things are good. If things are bad, what's going on? For you guys, and we talked to Johansson last week, and power play in particular, he's like, there really hasn't been all that much that had changed. It's just a couple of tweaks here and there, and we keep working at it. For you guys in the room, when things aren't going well, how do you just stay focused and know that it's an 82-game season and a lot can happen?
Yeah, I think you just simplify it. And, you know, if you're not always going to get – hockey's probably the only sport where you can do all the right things and not get results. I mean, in football and basketball and baseball, I mean, for the most part, when you play well and do the right things, I mean, you take a good shot on a basketball net, it's going in every time because there's no goalie there. You know, you throw a ball to a wide-open receiver, you know, he's catching it every time. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Or most of the time, it's very, very different than hockey. Hockey is such a game of inches, and you can do the right things all the time and not get the results. And I think that's been the case a lot this year. Whether it doesn't matter what part of our game you're talking about. And I think now we're starting to kind of get the results that we deserve. But I also think that there was some areas of our game that weren't there. That we did need to fix, and we have. And so it's kind of been a blend of both. We probably deserved a little better at times, but we were also, you know, like I said, getting what we deserved at other times. So, you know, we use that adversity, whether it was the adversity that we deserved or not, to improve our game. And, you know, obviously right now things have gone well. You know, you win a game in Carolina that you probably don't deserve to win, and then you win two games that you do deserve to win. That's kind of, you know, I guess how it's gone. Maybe early in the year we only win one of those. So, you know, it's nice to be on this roll right now, but we're not where we want to be yet, and we won't be there till, you know, game 82 or whatever game it is that we secure a playoff spot. So we're working towards that.
We're talking to Matt Duchene, Predators forward. They're in action tonight against Toronto. You bring up Carolina. I dubbed that the UC Saros hold my beer game because that's what it felt like with UC Saros. What's it like playing for – you played with Pecorine, now you play with UC Saros. What's it like playing with a guy like that, that you know that even if you guys in front don't have your best game, he's got your back?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you confidence to you know, every night, right? And I know there's been a lot of games this year where we felt really bad for him because he's played so well and we didn't, you know, score enough goals to win the game, or like, you know, we didn't do what we needed to do in front of him to help him out and help him get a win. So, no, it's great having him back there. You need great goaltending to win in this league, and we have that, whether it's him or Kevin Lankin, and Lanky's been outstanding this year as well. So, yeah, those guys are amazing to play in front of. And Juice, you know, obviously he's one of the best goalies in the league, and if not the best goalie in the league. So, you know, it's great having him on our team.
9 points in your last 11 games. I feel like you've really been playing some good hockey on a personal level. How do you feel about your season to this point?
I like what I've done. I like my process and my you know, game by game. I don't love my stats, and I don't think they've, you know, really reflected what I've done this year and how I've played. I really don't think I've changed much from last year or doing anything different. The puck hasn't gone in quite like it did last year to this point, but, you know, it's our last game was kind of a microcosm of the whole season for me, just, you know, obviously having a goal called back and, you know, a couple tough bounces and stuff like that. But, again, we're not even halfway through the year yet, and it's definitely hasn't been a bad year. It's just been okay in terms of, you know, some of those statistics, I guess. But, you know, in terms of how I'm playing and what I'm doing, my process and things like that, I like that. I like that part of it. I think I'm where I need to be, and I'm doing the right things out there. So that's all you can really shoot for, and sometimes the rest is out of your hands. So it's kind of reflected the rest of the team that way, I guess.
Did you have an inkling you might have been offsides, or it just happened so fast you had no idea?
I had no idea. Yeah, I guess it was. I didn't even see the replay. I heard it was like inches. Like,
oh, it was close.
It was very close. I think what happened was the puck was rolling, and Granny paused just for a quick second to let it settle. And I think I read that he was going to basically pull it over the line at that moment. You have the game's played at a certain pace and cadence, and when something gets thrown off, every now and then you can just react poorly. So I was shocked when I found out it was offside. Definitely, that was a kick in the gut a little bit for sure.
Oh, you weren't the only one. That is for sure. Matt Duchene is with us. You guys are in Toronto tonight, taking on the Maple Leafs. Obviously, a very good team, and you're focused on that. But what's it like playing in Toronto? I've seen some of the traveling party that went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and how cool that is. So is it a little extra special to play in Toronto?
For me, it is, because I'm from Ontario. I'm so close to here, and Toronto's kind of the Toronto, Montreal are the two hockey meccas of the league, and I love coming up here, and I get to see friends and family when I'm here, and I saw a bunch of family in Ottawa, and I saw a bunch of friends last night here. I really enjoy coming to Toronto. It's really cool.
And once again, you're going to have a test with a good Maple Leafs team, and I feel like you all have really answered the bell playing against teams like that. So how much are you looking forward to getting a little bit of an extra test against Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to score with them. We're going to have to defend really well, because they're such a good offensive team. So, it should be a fun game. They're so great offensively that we've got to be on our best behavior with the puck and defensively. But at the same time, like, that's a team you can create against, and a team that you have to score with. I mean, they're not going to score, It's probably not going to be a shutout type game tonight. It would be great if it was, but I don't see that being the case with just the talent they have. And obviously teams like that do get shut out, and hopefully we're the team that does it. But it's going to be a fun game tonight, and I think there'll be some goals scored for sure on both sides.
As a veteran player, what's it like to see the young guys like Parson and Glass and Jankowski, Novak come up and contribute right away to this team?
Yeah, I mean, you need to have four lines in this league to win, and those guys have been great. I mean, I think Parson's going to be a really good player in this league. It's, in particular, just a really young guy who's shown that, he's probably going to be a top six guy in this league for a long time. And the other guys have been great for the depth and done really well. And Novak's a really skilled player. Jankowski's got some really good talent. Glasser obviously is having a great year. His confidence just building, and he's got a lot of traction as of late, and he's played really well. So, it's great to see those guys do well.
Well, Matt, best of luck tonight in Toronto against the Maple Leafs, and then a quick turnaround tomorrow in Montreal. Appreciate you doing this as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That is Preds forward Matt Duchene joining us here on Chase and Michelle as they are back at it tonight. I'll have pregame for you at 5:30. The puck drop around 6:30 as the Predators take on the Maple Leafs. They also play tomorrow against Montreal, and that's your next chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. You can participate in Preds Pick to Click tomorrow at 8:45 on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we will get back into the Titans and the big splash moves that they need to make this offseason. That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.